I'm like sitting in the Millennium Falcon. I got like knobs and buttons.
He's back on.
Fucking Wookiee next to me. Bunch of
well, we just blew our
yep, that was it. The worst. That's the only funny
podcast ever.
All right. God. Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. The podcast where we talk about anything and everything about PC gaming. To my right, Flopsy, a.k.a. Chad.
Hey, what's up?
To my left, Ender's Logic, a.k.a. I'm not going to do it, man. Emilio. Don't even.
I look forward to this all week long, and I get excited. I'm like, oh, man, we get to do the podcast now. And then I have to look at Chad's dumb face right across me. It's like mixed feelings right
you
now.
You love it. You love it.
And rounding out the trio, Robert Digital, a.k.a. Babe. That's what they call me.
Gotcha.
I've never
heard Geyser and Zaya.
I just recently found out what Bobby Digital is. Did you know Bobby Digital is actually something?
From the Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, this is...
What?
This is all good.
How'd you find out?
People way more in the touch than me was like, oh... Bobby Digital.
He must be like the 15th member, because I think I had a pretty good grasp.
It was like a RZA alternate...
Yeah, RZA's a.k.a. Bobby Digital. Dude, he released albums under that.
Yeah.
You guys weren't alive in the 90s or something?
What's going on? I was a drug haze. And
all right, well, that's debatable, but that's not what we're here to debate. I'll tell you what, though. We were supposed to play some Dota 2, come back with the pro tips, and talk all about it. That didn't happen, so let's...
Well, it did.
It did. Me and Chad played.
Just not you.
Yeah, okay. Just not you. Yeah. So, okay, let's just jump into it real quick. I was reluctant to go back into it. Anytime Chad was like, hey, let's do this, you know, we got to do it for the podcast. And I was like, you know, I'd rather play something else, but let's do it since there's more than one of us. I'd never played it once by myself. The game is riddled with levers. Every game. I would say we played 20 games. They had a lever at least on one team, usually ours.
Yeah. They saw our names and was like, out, we're out.
Actually, the first time it was actually even was when we both had levers. It was 4-on-4.
Yeah.
That was the only game we played out of 20 games that there's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
Get your shit together, Dota. Like,
well, what I think it is, so you can't join a ranked match until you're level 13, I believe is what it said. So we were joining non-ranked matches, which kind of by definition don't have penalties for leaving. I think you have a timer that you can't join again for a certain amount of time, but there's no, like, you're losing points or anything like that because you're not in a ranked match. Yeah. It's unranked.
There's no repercussions for leaving the game.
The thing that I find faulted is that you have to be level 13 to get in there. Like, if you've played MOBAs before, which... Everybody that's playing these games have played before because League of Legends is so big.
Well, every game is one person's new first MOBA.
Okay.
But there should be
a toggle or a switch that says, yes, I'm an experienced MOBA player. Let me play ranked. Right? Because that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to play ranked. We wanted to see what it's like for real, but we couldn't do it.
Dude, does that or does that not look like Rust?
Yes.
Right there. I was like, whoa, Rust is on the screen.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, that's weird, right?
That is strange.
Sorry, guys. So, Chad has Google Cast or Google Chromecast. And it has a background.
You just have Rust on the brain, I think. Like
that looks like Rust, dude.
It does, but anything desolistic?
Desolate?
Desolate.
Anyway, his Chromecast has backgrounds that it puts on the TV, and it just looks something straight out of Rust. It's crazy. Sorry.
Okay, to get back to Dota, though. You seem like you had fun when we were laning together. I, being the more experienced one at the top-down MOBAs, was kind of the initiator, and then you would come in with all the damage. We were playing Sven. I was playing Sven, and he was following up with Lina.
Or
what was the other one?
Jayco? Janko? Something like that.
Yeah, Jacko or something like that.
Yeah, he had double-headed dragon, basically, fire and ice.
So we both had stuns. Mine was a point stun, meaning you click on the person and it it's guaranteed to hit. It doesn't miss. So I would start off with that. Then he would follow up with his stun, either with Lina or with the dragon. And then, you know, we'd pop ults and burn the guy down.
Pretty much kill anybody.
Yeah. So we always won our lane.
Here's the thing, though. On their end, right? So I'm playing, you know. If I get within stun radius of Sven, I'm just guaranteed killed. Like, it doesn't...
So, you're supposed to be popping stuff in response. So we target one person and try to burn them down. But that leaves that other guy that's... Because we're supposed to be 2-on-2. That leaves the other guy free to be doing stuff back. If he stuns you back in response, then our combo doesn't work anymore. It's got to be teamwork on both sides, but since we're talking on the mic and they're not...
I feel like if you're at full health in Smite, there's no two-player combination where you don't get a chance.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Where? Name it. Or maybe...
Like Ymir, you pop up with... who's the boy girl in...
Najah.
You pop up with Najah. Ymir does his ult. You land right into his ult. That's
not from full health. Yeah, it's not going to kill most people.
You are exaggerating.
No, I don't think so.
Two ults on
although,
a guy.
Although Ymir, Anubis. Oh, me and Bobby did that, but not from full health, guys. Not from full health.
No, it's happened before. I think this is just another MOBA game, and if you played it a lot, you'll get better at it, and your opinion of it would change. But I could see what other people see in this game. It's not a game that I want to take any further. I was kind of a little apathetic about it to begin with. Then getting into it, I'm kind of glad I did, just to kind of see what it was about. But I have no interest in playing it anymore, really.
I think playing... Since I... Of the three of us, I have the most rounded MOBA experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think seeing them all together, the thing that is most daunting on 90% of them is the items. Like, you can learn a character, you can learn the characters around you, you can learn the laning. It's these items that really make or break you, and games like Dota and League of Legends and Heroes of New Earth and all those have just daunting items.
Yeah.
So, in that respect, I think Smite got it right. And also, Dawngate, I don't know if you guys have played that, it's still in early beta. But I've had access to it. That game also does it, not the same way as Smite, but does it much better than they do.
And the other ones?
Yeah, and if they could clean up the items, and I know it's a throwback to Dota, the original Dota and everything like that, but I think the items are preventing players from getting into the game.
But apparently 7.1, like, I can't stop saying this number, 7.1 million players this month.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can trust numbers, though. Like I said, Justin Bieber's got a lot of fans, and that doesn't make it right. So,
Are you saying you're not a believer?
I am saying that.
So, I did want to point out what appears for Dota 2, and, you know, we haven't gotten in far enough to really know for sure, but it appears that buying characters is not one of the microtransactions.
Right. They're all available one.
Which is
even more daunting, honestly.
But I think it's a cool idea, meaning that you're not restricted by the characters that you own. You're now restricted by other ways. Like, it's more player-friendly.
I mean, if I had my choice, yeah, I would like all heroes unlocked in every game.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I thought that was a cool idea that they're going with, especially considering the scope or how big they want it to be. Because that's a lot of revenue that they could be trying to pull in.
7.1 million players, I mean, 7.1 million players are putting money into it.
Yeah, true.
I mean, and the changing your character's look doesn't really change it that much. They stay the same color.
Yeah.
So it's more like just little things, something to cover their face, even though everybody's looking top down. It's really weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cosmetic changes are not as noticeable in this game.
No, not at all.
Because the characters are so...
You know, Smite, you get like a whole new costume and or theme. Like, yeah. It's a whole new thing, you know? So, which is pretty cool. I have a whole thing I want to get into right now. I'm kind of glad that we started playing Loadout, and we're going to get into that more later. But here's the difference between fun, not fun, getting into games, hard, not hard. Okay. So, complexity comes from, in something like Dota 2, complexity comes from playing five other human beings. They're smart. Or, you know, relatively smart. There's no retards are playing Dota because they can't, you know? So,
because they quit 5 minutes
into it. Because they quit into it. I quit 5 minutes into it. So you're going up against humans. That in there is enough complexity. If you have good matchmaking, You don't need overt complexity to the nth degree. Complexity does not equal fun. We've been playing Loadout all day today, a couple times earlier this week. Couldn't be a simpler game. I thought it was over Team Deathmatch. Apparently not. Like, this is Team Deathmatch. I'm having so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, all you're doing is running around, shooting people.
But before we get into that, let me just finish on your statement about the not being... the fun's in the players. And I agree with you. But you gotta look at it in the framework of the game. Like, MOBAs specifically only have 4 actions because they want the character itself to be a simple thing. It's not like WoW, where you've got 3... hotkey bars to choose from. You only have 4 actions. So, and even a game like Smite, where you can't even really use your items as clickables either, you're really restricted to 4 and maybe 5 or 6,
Yeah, but you have the added complexity, the infinite added complexity of aiming, which is...
True, but...
so much.
So does Dota in a lot of ways. But what I'm saying is, part of the complexity, they make that part simple because the meta game is part of the complexity.
Right.
So that includes, like, when I watch League play, the really interesting thing for me is watching the character selection. And when I was first getting into MOBAs and was digging Han, like, that was the most fun for me, watching the interplay going on between how they were picking their teams to best face each other and how the lane strategy was set up. Because... in Heroes of New Earth, you can do a 3-1-1, you can do a 1-2-2, you can do a jungle, not jungle, double jungle, you can do all sorts of strategy. And a lot of that is some of the complexity that I find enjoyable. The items,
it seems,
I think,
appealing. Yeah. Well, it's completely preferential. I think complexity is completely irrelevant when you're talking about fun, because what's fun for someone may be different for another person. If someone enjoys complex games, they're going to lean towards games like Dota or maybe like Red Orchestra too. If someone enjoys games that are very simple, which, a lot of people want
games. Hello, simple games.
Yeah, simple games.
But that's kind of what you're saying, because you want the difficulty in the players, not necessarily in picking the right items and stuff.
Yeah, but the difficulty isn't necessarily in the players. I mean, you take a game like Call of Duty or even Loadout, it's a simple, intuitive game, and it's very fun, and anybody can play it. That doesn't mean that it's better.
I don't know if I could technically play it. I did so badly that it's almost like not playing that game.
I think you could lose at that game and still have fun.
Oh, that's true.
And here's the thing. Like, I'm generally decent at shooters. I was having horrible... like, I still have yet to have, like, consistent positive scores. But I was having so much fun. The thing about Loadout is it's like... it's almost like a trading card game in that in between rounds, you're adjusting your deck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go in and you're like, oh, let me switch this there. Let me switch that there.
Let's tell them a little bit what it is. It's a third-person shooter, 4-on-4, different modes such as Capture the Flag or Control Points.
Nothing new?
Nothing
new here.
Although they twist.
I would argue that there is stuff new. Yeah,
they twist stuff.
Yeah, they take the standard modes for like your Deathmatch or Capture the Flag, and they put a little twist on it. For instance, Deathmatch is now Death Snatch. Not only do you have to kill the other person, you have to pick up the little object that they leave behind. So you have to confirm your kills, which adds a little twist to it.
And you can deny. If you run over your teammate's little mark, you can deny them.
So I really like the Blitz mode, though, which is Capture the Flag, but the flag is a random spawn point, so it pops up. Everyone has to race over to it.
That's like control points, right?
The random nature of this game is great. Like, health packs aren't always where you think they're going to be. It just randomly shows up. And they're never ever game-breaking. Like, you don't see a health pack like on top of somewhere where nobody can get. Whatever they did with the random generator, it's great. Like, it works really well. And it keeps it fresh.
So people that have never played the game, the main selling point on Loadout is their gun system. So they have 4 basic guns: a rifle, a beam, a pulse, and a rocket or missile. I forget what they call it. But then on top of those, each of them can have different barrels. So you can have like a sniper barrel, scatter barrel, which is like a shotgun, and you can have different scopes, you can have different stocks, you can have different magazines. So within this framework of just 4 weapons, they have over a billion combinations, they say. So that's what Emilio is talking about when he's talking about changing your loadout in between rounds, because you've earned a little more blue, or what is it called?
Plutonium.
Plutonium. And you can, you can buy a different scope. You can check something else out. But it seemed to me like there's a right or wrong way to do it right now. Because everything I was picking was the wrong way to do it.
You know what? So, you know how I was just trying to make the sniper work, making it work, trying. I tried for days.
Yeah.
Literally. And then I just switched over.
While your teams were losing and losing and losing.
And I switched over. Although, I got to admit, even though we were losing, I was still having a great time. I mean, Abby and I were laughing out loud at certain points. Like, this game is fun as hell. Like,
yeah.
And it's team deathmatch at its root, you know?
Yeah.
And another thing is, like, so you go into this game and it's 4-on-4. Guess what? You're going to play with those same 8 people for the next, until somebody leaves and somebody replaces them. Which you would think, oh, that's kind of odd. But you start to learn how certain people play and certain guns that they're using. So you get to hate the other or love a certain
or
person.
Or get excited when they're on your team.
Because you start to learn these people. And it gives you even more, like, you get even happier when you kill certain people as opposed to not. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to TF2 where these are all strangers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And let's be honest, the art style is awesome. Like, it looks like Team Fortress 2 done up even sharper and with gore factor out the roof. You know,
I was telling Chad today, like, as soon as he walked into the house, I was like, Chad, my legs and torso got blown up. I was just hips. Bloody hips. Like, how good is that, you know? It was awesome.
Yeah, they have great death animations. I think my favorite is when the top half of your body gets blown off and you run around with just 2 legs and a bloody stump. It's almost like when you, like, cut a head off a chicken, like, they're just running around crazy. That's kind of what it looks like.
Well, when you taunts, get people off, yeah, it's awesome.
The taunts are awesome.
Wait, do you know about blitz and taunts?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so when you're trying to take the point, it takes twice as... You have twice as much capture power if you're taunting. So now it's all about jumping on there, and the song starts every time you taunt. Every competitive gear. Dude, it's so stupid.
I was wondering why people were doing that.
Yeah. You capture it twice as fast. So.
I was thinking they should change the death snatch. They should change it to you got to taunt on their body to get the point.
Oh, I see.
Because, like,
could work.
Like, the taunting is just really cool. Like,
yeah. Well, you can do it at the end of each match if you win. And the higher ranked you are, the closer to the front of the screen you are. So if you get first place, you're right up front there, and you got to do your taunt right in everyone's face.
And it's a free-to-play game, which, I mean, this much fun
should
for
be the
free,
standard model.
It should. I mean, but what do you guys think about, is it pay-to-win?
They profess it is not pay-to-win because all the items that you do in game are spent using plutonium, which you earn playing the game.
I told Bobby today that I think it's play to win.
That's what they profess.
Right.
However, there is a ranking system where you level up and you level up your guns and all. And so it's not an even playing field. It would be like going into a WoW battlefield and you're 51 and you're playing up against 59s. You know, like,
you have the same amount of hit points, though.
You would notice.
No, not if you don't have the shield. Then they actually have
that's
more.
That's very easy to get.
But that's still, but that's the, and they're ranking up the shield. Like, that's one of the things that you can do. Does it do more? Yeah, yeah. So you can continue to rank up stuff like that. So, I agree. It is not pay to win. However,
somewhere in the middle, maybe.
Yeah,
but more on the less side of the pay to win. I think
I wouldn't be upset, but you can go up against people that you basically have very little chance of beating because they've leveled up their weapons high enough.
At the same time, everybody has the same amount of hit points besides the shield.
Yeah.
I don't know if you get... I mean, we're still in the very beginning of this game. It came out less than a week ago. So we're still seeing a lot of... When I first started playing, I played day one and everybody was the same. It was totally even. And now as time has gone by, I can see people who have bought the starter pack and who have XP and plutonium boosts and are getting this faster so they can get upgrades quicker. And I'm seeing a little bit more of a difference between the range of players that I'm playing against. And in time, those differences are going to become bigger and bigger. So you may go into a game, if they don't have any sort of matchmaking system where lower levels are playing each other and higher levels are playing each other, then you may be going up against people who have a far less advantage.
What I kind of worry about on this style of game is people are going to start cookie cuttering. They're going to say,
this is the best.
This is the best, and then you're going to start just seeing people. Because right now, it's like the Wild West. Everybody's trying out different things. Everybody's doing, seeing what they like. But
Bobby picked up a gun today. Oh, when you kill somebody, you can pick up their gun. And Bobby went apeshit with this guy's gun. Like, you went like 6 kills in a row, right?
Yeah, I had like an 8-kill streak once I got its gun. Yeah. But the thing is, I don't think as much variety as there is with the guns, I don't think there's a specific advantage to certain ones. I think the more you play...
It's all situational.
It is very situational. And depending on the mode that you're playing in, you want to use a different loadout. But I think that there's lots of different playing styles, and it kind of speaks a little more to that rather than this is the loadout everybody should get.
What I did like with the healing beam, like, because that's how I was using the heal, was with the beam. It is a nice departure from TF2 where you don't lock on, so you have to actively be healing people instead of, I'm your pocket healer and all I'm doing is wandering around.
Yeah, you have to aim.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that respect, I liked it.
Yeah. You can heal yourself if you shoot on the ground with like grenade type weapons. We're assuming. I think with that.
I was healing somehow with.
I never heal shit. So.
Yeah. When you use the healing beam, you heal yourself a little bit, and also it's not like TF2 where you're just a healer and that's what you do. Like you pull out the healing gun and you heal some people, and then you go back to blowing up the enemy team. Like, it's not something that you are dedicated to.
And we noticed today that the overheal starts immediately, even if you're hurt. Overheal and regular heal are you're gaining them both together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And overheal at max rank is like a second life bar. It's really, really useful.
Yeah. Two things I disliked on the game so far. The first one was that friends, they've got some sort of friends stuff that they're trying to work out, where we were having problems for like an hour trying to get it to work.
I never had a single problem with that game. I don't know what's going on with you guys.
The other thing is Windows mode.
Yeah. We were having so many problems. Even still now, like, my taskbar keeps popping up. Maybe it's because I put the taskbar on the right now. I don't have it on the bottom of my screen anymore. It's on the right. Maybe that's the only thing I can think of why I'm the only one having this issue. But yeah, you know, it's a little bit buggy, but overall, it looks great, it plays great, it's fun as hell, and it's free. Need I say more? Really? Yeah. You know?
Now, does this seem like a game that you're going to get sick of? Because we played all the maps. We played all the maps several times.
Do you think that's fresh to me, dude. Every time I go onto them, because of the random nature. Mm-hmm. Except for when you're playing Capture the Flag, which is called Jackhammer. Jackhammer. That's the only one where everything's static. All the other ones is like everything's jumping around all the time. You got to keep moving and look for things, so it keeps it fresh for me. So I don't know how long I'm going to be interested in this game, but I'm going to play it till it's not fun anymore. You know,
I'm already at like 16 hours on this game, I think.
Yeah,
and I've told you guys that 30 hours is kind of like the mark for me. When I get to 30 hours, that's usually when most games kind of fall off. Games like this, you know, where there's no start, middle, and end. You just keep playing. You know, games like Payday 2 or whatever.
Any signs of slowing down at 16 hours?
Not so much. I'm still having fun with the customization of the gun. I'm trying to level up my gun and get a little bit more of an advantage. The maps are getting a little repetitive to me, but this is the kind of game that's right up my alley, and it's so fast-paced, and it's so pick up and go. Like, the rounds are 15 minutes long. The respawn time is 3 seconds, so it's constant action. Just constant action. You kill somebody, they're back in your face 5 seconds later.
Yep.
So, let me ask kind of a serious question. Yeah, serious. So, free to play, this game's free to play. 16 hours played, 12 hours played, probably 12 hours for myself, maybe. Do you guys feel like you get to a point where you feel like, I'm going to kick them some money because I've had a lot of fun and I think they're worth it and I'd like to see this game develop further?
I got there today. I wanted to buy the starter pack today.
Okay, but you've already bought the starter pack, correct?
No, I haven't. I haven't spent any money on the game.
So then I talked to Bobby, and I was like, hey, what do you think about the starter pack? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe if he would have done it, I would have done it, but I spent like $200 at the bar last night, so...
Rethink that
one. Well, I'm just curious, because like for me, buying the God pack for Smite, for example, that was $30, but I feel like that was worth it. You didn't buy the starter pack, you have been earning the gods, but you have spent money on them.
I spent like $60 or $70.
Yeah, on the gems or whatever.
On the gems, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And that was clearly, or solely, to support the game.
Yeah.
Like, I love that game so much. I wanted it to do well. I think it is doing well. I think it's still growing, but... that, yeah, basically, I was like, wow, I'm getting all this enjoyment. Let me give them what I can.
Yeah, and I guess I raise this question because I think gamers have an obligation that since there are these new models, if you want a model or you want a game to be successful, then the only way that you can show that at this current point is to show it with your money. You know, like,
yeah.
Obviously they see you playing and obviously they're happy about it, and obviously that helps the community. But if you really want to see a game succeed and to thrive, the only way to do it is to throw up money, you know? And so, you know, if I continue to play this game, I'm probably going to get the starter pack
but
or whatever.
You're not. Let's be honest.
Well, I'm a terrible first-person shooter. Like, yeah. I'm not as good, so I lose the fun that much quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Wow, way to guilt everyone into paying.
No, I'm just...
No, it's true, though.
Everybody do what you want to do. But Bobby, I'm raising that.
Bobby's notoriously stingy with his space.
I'm the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I do not spend money on the games that deserve it. And I totally, when this game came out, I was very skeptical. I kind of went into it with my arms crossed because it was free to play. And
don't you go into every situation with your arms crossed?
Usually. But, you know, when I spend money on a game, then I feel obligated to play it. So it's like the other way around for me. But yeah, you should totally support games like this. And I think
you can't
totally
even get through that without
yeah.
He never does.
He's crossing his fingers right now.
Here's the funny thing. He'd rather pay $350 for...
a shitty game.
For, yeah.
Then pay...
I like to give shitty games a chance.
Barbie's like Dream House.
Ship 2 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He buys so many shitty games, he gives me the free ones that he has extras of. But he won't throw $3 into a game that he really likes.
Well, I mean, it's each their own, and I understand what he... I understand... I'm a stingy person, too, so I find it difficult to do it. But, you know, as I'm seeing the video game industry mature and try these different models, I really think that we need to support things.
If you like free-to-play, you should spend money on free-to-play.
Yeah. Like, there's another free-to-play. I don't know. Are we done with Loadout?
No. We can move on.
Okay. There's another free-to-play that's on Steam, which is actually a mobile game called Solstice Arena. So it's a mobile game that they put on Steam, so you can play on your iPhone or on Steam. They don't have it on Android, or I would have picked it up already. It's basically one lane of a MOBA with no creeps, only towers, and it's 3v3. And it's only three different attacks. Super simple, because it's got to be simple, because you're playing it on your phone. But because it's so simple, all you do is the PvP part of a MOBA, which is awesome. And the kind of, not three quarters, but it's kind of side-scroller-esque looking. Art style is nice, and the gameplay is fun, and they're constantly making updates to it. It's still supposed to be in beta, but it's free to play if you guys are interested in something that the matches are like 5-10 minutes tops.
It couldn't be more simpler and still be kind of saying you're a MOBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a loosely a MOBA.
Yeah.
It's a, but...
we all played a little bit of this together for a while, didn't we?
Yeah.
I remember this game.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Playing on the PC was like... It would be more enjoyable for me if I was playing on my phone, if I was bored.
Yeah. And,
you know, if I'm at home, I'd rather be playing something else.
And luckily, since you have an iPhone, you could do this game.
And I don't.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you need your MOBA fix and your phone only, I would recommend Solstice Arena. It's free to play, obviously, since it's the MOBA, it follows the MOBA model. You can spend money on gems or whatever they call them. But I like it. I actually played it. I have like 20 hours played on it, and I only play it on a computer. So,
now, do you guys think this game is so much fun because it's so simple?
I think it's fun because it basically feels like a deathmatch MOBA.
Like, are we going back to what, like, this thing that I just, it just keeps coming up this week, where like complexity comes from your opponents.
Yeah.
Why do you need all that other stuff?
Well, you gotta have a framework.
I don't think you should completely negate it, because weren't you guys the very same people that were saying, man, World of Warcraft, they dumbed it down and made it too easy, now it's all accessible. No.
There's no opponents there.
You're playing against other people. PvP.
No, I mean, well, there's a PvP. No, the PvE was too easy.
I disagree with you. I don't think you need to dumb it down, but it's like I said before, if I want to play a 15-minute game first-person shooter, I'd play, you know, Modern Warfare. If I want to play like a 30-minute, 40-minute match, I'd play Battlefield. Like, each situation calls for its own game. When I want a simple game, I'm at break on work, at work, I only have 15 minutes, I'm not going to load up, you know, League of Legends and try to play that. I'm going to play a game like Solstice that I can play two or three matches in that 15 minutes and have a fun time.
What's that company that makes Bejeweled? They make
PopCap.
Yeah. See, I feel like
greatest company ever.
I feel like this. If PopCap made a MOBA, that's what this game would be.
It's it is by one of those companies like Zynga or PopCap or one of those companies.
That explains a lot then.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's the best game out there. I'm not saying it's even competes with the other MOBAs. But if you want something quick, if you want something mobile, on your mobile phone, I'm definitely all for Solstice Arena.
How long are the matches in that game?
Like 5-10 minutes, depends. If you got people that know what they're doing, like you can get through it. You hit max level in like 5 minutes, and then it's max level players going back and forth. Nice.
Yeah, I'm liking those games that you can just pick up and play real quick and then put down. Like there's something to be said about long games. Have you guys ever played Star Wars Rebellion? This has taken it back pretty far.
Like Rebellion?
Rebellion. It's a strategy game, Star Wars strategy game, where you had to take over like the entire universe, basically. But those games would go for 6 hours. You guys remember Age of Empires? Yeah, like they could go for 6 hours.
Is that the RTS?
No, it's a strategy sim kind of game from like maybe the 90s.
Huh.
Yeah.
Top down, right?
Not really. No. I mean, you're looking at like space and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Here's a better example: Age of Empires 2. You remember how long those games used to take?
Never actually played.
Really? Yeah. Age of Empires 2? Oh,
you have a much more diverse...
It's because I'm buying
everything.
Yeah.
You have a much more
diverse... It must have been on the 250.
Yeah. It was a flash sale. Hey, man, it's a Steam
this
sale.
This was the 90s, dude. This is when, like, you got a game, and that's the game that you had. I spent my very first paycheck that I ever made on some shitty paper route on Age of Empires 2. Yeah.
The whole thing? Mm-hmm. What a shitty paper route.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 50 or 60 bucks. It's my very first paycheck. Yeah. But, you know, a week's worth of work. But, yeah, I mean, it's nice to be able to sit down and play a really long game if you have the time. But during the week, I find myself gravitating towards games that I can just pick up and play for like 15 minutes or 10 minutes or something and then go do something else.
Now you're a grown-ass man. Like, you have less time, you know.
Yeah. Well, the weekends.
You get into the, yeah, weekends is when you get into games.
Yeah.
But on weekdays, you know, you don't want to get too deep. I don't click on Skyrim unless I know...
Take a shot, everybody.
Yeah, everybody take a shot. That I know that I have at least an hour to get in there, you know?
Should we talk about ESO then if we're bringing up Skyrim?
Oh, here we are. Here we are, right? Okay, so we are all part of the beta.
I think everybody got a beta because it was like the server load
beta,
test,
which
pissed me off because they do a server load test and then I sign in and it gets me a 45-minute wait.
Wait, you guys didn't get the email? The one that said like, "Hey podcasters,
no.
Like best it's podcasters in the universe."
Yeah, I missed that one.
Hey, best joke title. Hey, podcast best podcasters in the universe. Would you please grace us? With your infinite wisdom. Something like that.
I don't think that happened.
Something like that. I might have been dreaming.
Okay.
But I think it was something like that.
So, ESO.
Wow. All right.
Let me sum it up real quick.
Where do we want to start with this?
Yeah, you're the Skyrim guy. So
I'm the what?
You're the Skyrim guy. Like, I know nothing. All these words, there's like, you know, tildes on them and like all sorts of... I don't know any of these words that they use.
So today I was like, hey, Bobby. This sums everything up. Let's play, should we play ESO? You know, because the free weekend's going to be up. And he says, I fucking hate that game.
I mean, that doesn't mean much because I say that about normal Skyrim. I don't hate it, but I don't like it, which everyone accuses me of hating it. But, yeah,
better
so
than
I'm
me
not surprised.
Who's never played it.
I mean, well, okay. I think we all know the answer, but are you guys going to buy this game when it comes out in
no.
April? No.
Not even for the podcast now.
Well, I asked Emilio, I was like, this game's not coming out for a year, right? Like, this is like early, early beta, right? And he's like, no, I think it's coming out like in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, really?
You know, like, I really didn't like it, but I was really thinking hard, what do I not like about this game? Like, what is it that...
It's hard to pin down for me, anyway.
I think...
It's hard to what?
Pin down. Oh, pin, what I don't
what,
like.
What you don't like.
Yeah.
I think what I've it comes down it to is it is tired. Like, there's nothing really, like, new or innovative. They took Skyrim, they took an MMO, and they smashed them together, but there's no, like, innovation there. Like, I feel like this could have come out 5 years ago. Like, or...
The most innovation I saw was when you're looking at your map and somebody pulls out a map and you can see your the other player holding a map. Well, or if he's going through his inventory.
WoW does that now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So that is the biggest innovation that I saw.
So don't get me wrong. I really like the skill trees and how they work and how you can morph your skills and stuff like that. Like, using that stuff's cool. And I haven't really gotten into the crafting. I'm always a crafter in MMOs.
I think it's super deep.
So, I can't say I dislike it or like it, and I can't say I will buy it or won't buy it, because I don't think I put enough time into it to really say whether... Because it's an MMO. Like, you could put 50 hours in and still not know the whole game. Like, there's even endgame content. Like, you know, there's all this stuff that MMOs have, so I don't want to say that.
You can't make a fair
judgment.
But
right now, it doesn't feel like... anything I want to invest $14.99 a month in.
And the $60 upfront. Don't forget about that.
So MMOs are my favorite genre. So I'm pretty much... I'm going to buy the game. And I'm going to play it for that first month. Just like I bought Final Fantasy 14 and played it for its month. Just like I bought, you know, Star Wars. All the ones. So I'm gonna buy it, but I don't know.
Aren't we just keep waiting for that next EverQuest?
Yeah,
waiting
now
for
I'm
that next
back,
WoW, man.
Yeah,
that's all
I'm
it
back
is.
To WoW again, you know.
Let me get back to the crack. Like, where is it?
Yeah. So
You
guys right now not buying it, not picking it up?
No, and I probably wouldn't have to begin with. I noticed the graphics and the character animation seemed a lot more simplified than Skyrim, and I think they did that just probably for, you know, to optimize whatever server load they have, you know, just to make it easier for more people to run. Because they got a lot of people in there, and that will cause issues. But I thought I didn't really mind that part. I've only played like 2 hours of this, but it seemed very linear to me. It's like, go here, do this quest, go over there, talk to this guy, and it doesn't break out of the whole MMO genre in any specific way. And you got to ask yourself the question: I mean, can we? Is there anything new that we can do with MMOs that is going to bring us back? I mean, is there going to be like another game that just has the impact that World of Warcraft did?
God, I'm really hoping that EverQuest is the one. Because they said that, you know, when the lead designer was approached with the whole idea of EverQuest, he's like, every MMO comes out and they have their one thing that's like their, this is what we're doing different. Although ESO really doesn't even have that.
It seems like an arrogance for them. Like, Skyrim was huge, so we're going to do a MMO and it's going to be huge. Because doesn't
Bethesda,
look like
it's not all in Skyrim. I mean, if you like those games, if you like Fallout 3, I mean, that's a gigantic game. It's my favorite game of all time. So they have a big following. But yeah, maybe. But I think it comes down to their thing we never even experienced, because it's the PvP. Apparently the PvP, you know, you have your three islands for the three factions, and then everybody fights over the middle island for buffs for their entire faction. So, and then somebody becomes the emperor of the entire game. You know, if you can take that center, whoever acquires the most like battle points when the final keep is taken at the middle of the middle island, he becomes emperor and he gets like crazy buffs and shit. And he's like really powerful. And
so is it kind of a case of the rich just getting richer then? Like, once you attain that island, it's really hard to dethrone?
I don't know. It's never been done. Like, the PvP hasn't even been breached yet, so we don't know. Mm-hmm. But it does sound like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it, but you never know what to expect with these games. Like, for me, PlanetSide 2 sounded like the greatest game ever. And then it came out, and I played it for...
On paper, right?
Yeah, on paper. The idea of it. You know, yeah. You're taking part in these smaller battles, which are part of a larger war. Like, that sounded so cool. That sounded like everything I wanted from a first-person shooter that was also kind of an MMO. It sounded like a great game, and then when I actually played it, I was a little disappointed. So, you can never really tell until you actually play these things for yourself. I mean, not to defend Elder Scrolls Online, but we've got to give it a lot more time before we can make a fair judgment on it. There's no way that we can really, even though I did not like anything that I saw this weekend, like, I still can't say it's a bad game, because it's an MMO. It is a lot of content.
And it's in beta, I mean, for what it's worth, I guess.
Him but in betas.
Yeah. Yeah. We start on betas and alphas. Yeah.
Him on anything.
Yeah. Like, well, I will be buying life. So I will be continuing to play it, and I will update you guys and let you know if I feel like it's worthwhile picking up.
Awesome.
So. I do kind of feel like leveling up with you, you know?
Yeah.
That's we haven't nothing done that sexual. Since, wow. There's nothing sexual there, guys. It sounds sexual. Let's go level up together.
Just two guys leveling up. There's nothing wrong.
We're probably going to both be in our underwear when we do it, too.
Yeah, it's true. You have your pants on right now? Does it matter? No,
doesn't matter.
Let's level up.
Hey, man, no judgment here. You know what I noticed this, like a few days ago? I was looking at a game that's like an archery simulator. Yeah, I like to go for the weirdest, most obscure games ever, and then talk about it like some PC gaming snob.
Were you an octopus shooting the arrows?
No, I was not an octopus.
That co-op Octodad.
I want to play that so bad.
I kind of want to play it now.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if it would be harder or easier with that, but that sounds fun.
To clear up for the listeners, you can play four-person co-op in Octodad,
and each one has a limb.
Each person has a limb, so they just up the fuckery.
Yeah.
So everybody's on the Octodad train now. We're all jumping on the bandwagon.
I haven't bought it yet.
Okay.
I'm not gonna fumble.
Fumble core?
Yeah, fumble core sounds like the worst idea ever.
It is.
I get frustrated on tight controls, let alone these like fucking loose.
Well, I think
ones.
It's an interesting concept to make. You know, the game is just about doing very mundane tasks, but the difficulty is in learning the controls. Like, that's the entire game. It's mastering the controls. So I think it's an interesting take on
a game.
It's
a game within a game, kind of.
But anyway, so I'm checking out this archery game, and I've noticed it's got, you know how Steam has categories? It says like, oh, this one's got Steam trading cards. It's got local co-op and co-op and single player, you know, those.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the right side of the store page, it lists that they have a category for VR support now. So I'm like, okay. I clicked on it. There's the orange box and 15 other titles listed under VR support. So I'm guessing these are games that are going to work with Oculus.
Yeah.
The orange box, obviously, Team Fortress 2, Half-Life, and all that stuff. All the Valve stuff, Left 4 Dead, going to be on there. But in addition, nothing too great. The ones that I picked out were Slender, The Arrival, the newer version. Snow, which is a game that is a snowboarding simulator. I bought it. I haven't played it yet.
Why are you grabbing them if you don't have a VR headset?
I bought this before I knew it was a VR game.
Oh, I see.
But, yeah. And Surgeon Simulator 2013, which I don't think will be that big of a deal on VR. But if you look at Snow, I mean, Slender would be. But if you look at Snow, like, that looks like a game. It's very scenic. It's very realistic. The graphics look pretty good. It's, you know, it looks like you're snowboarding. Have you guys seen the Eve? What is it? Eve? There's a game that Oculus is going to co-publish with someone, with a company called CCP, with the VR. It's going to be the first official like game designed to
it's
work.
It's not
with
Dust 514 or whatever, is it?
No, it's called Eve. It starts with an R.
Because CCP does Eve, right? Regular Eve.
Yeah, they do normal Eve.
So it must be like some sort of like.
Yeah,
it's a
space sim.
Yeah.
You're in space. It looks a lot like EVE Online, but it's different in some way.
What's the...
Star Citizen really is the one that's going to...
Remember old school arcades way back in the day? The first one that had like the skateboard that you actually got on? And it like the tricks were A, B, C, S? I think
720.
Is that what it was?
I'm pretty sure that was
called. I remember 720. Oh, yeah.
There was one of them. But I... If you could do that with the snow, with the VR headset, and have your snowboard there, and actually do that, that would be cool.
Or you could drive to a mountain, but who wants to do that?
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
you
get cold and all, right?
Yeah, nobody wants to do that.
So, I played a game this week, free to play, called Serena. It is a... From what I read, it basically was created by fans of point-and-click adventure and some people in the industry, and some they got some talent and stuff anywhere, and they got a collaboration together, and they built this game, which is a cool idea. And so I played it. It's free on Steam. It's only they say in the description it is a short game, and it is. It probably took me 30 to 45 minutes to go all the way through.
Jeez.
It's more like an...
I was in the bathroom the whole time.
It's more like an interactive story where you're clicking on stuff and he's talking. He has an inner monologue going and you're trying to figure out what happened. Is he alive? Is he dead? You know, what's going on? And, I mean, it was good, I guess. I didn't feel like it was really a game. Like, you clicked on stuff until you
got... It was a story.
You clicked on stuff until you got to the right one.
I just keep coming back to this, where point and clicks, for me, are just stories that are there waiting to be unlocked.
The good ones have puzzles, but there are some... Like, if you take the Jurassic Park game by Telltale, that's basically one quick time event after the other. That's their mechanic for telling the story. And it's not very good at all. The good point and click adventure games, I think, have really good puzzles and also a really good story. But, yeah, there are some where, like, The Walking Dead. But that one, the story was so good, I don't think it even mattered.
Have you done the follow-up, the Fable?
The Wolf Among Us?
Yeah.
No. It's number 2 or 3 on my wish list. So I will be grabbing... I order my wish list, so, you know.
I'm waiting for all the episodes to come out, because I refuse to do this episodic stuff. I get too much episodic...
And that's probably going to be cheaper if you
that's
wait.
That's why I'm on Netflix, because I don't want to wait for every episode. I want to just watch the whole season all at once. I'd rather wait until it all comes up.
God, that's the best way to watch TV.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So I'm going to... But I'm really excited, because I read the Fable comics, so I'm really excited for that.
Nice.
I was not a fan of the Walking Dead one by Telltale, though, because, you know, I'm not a
Chad
zombie.
Chad hates zombies.
I'm not a zombie guy.
The zombie genre has played the fuck out,
you guys.
Dude.
Fuck
it
you
is
guys.
Played out.
Speaking of which... We played Rust yesterday.
Oh, Rust, zombies are gone.
Yeah, Rust took the zombies out, which I thought was a good move. Like, zombies are overplayed. Let's get them out. They put in irradiated wolves and bears.
Too easy to kill, though.
But apparently they run in packs.
I haven't seen a pack yet.
The biggest pack I saw was 2. So
okay.
I could see how a pack would be a problem. But yeah, Nick said that they come in 5s or 6s. So that would be extremely hard to get away from. So, but I haven't seen any of that. Me and Bobby played. We had free reign. We just looted everything.
But let's be honest. The zombies, once you got weapons, the zombies were not a concern.
There's
the animals are way less of a concern than the zombies are.
I think...
Those super zombies are fucking crazy, man.
Honestly, I think you should not be able to run faster than a wolf or a bear. Like, if you had to stand and face them,
I'm pretty sure I could outrun a bear.
No, you couldn't. Dude, it's like totally 35 miles.
He doesn't have to outrun a bear. He only has to outrun you. Right?
It's true. No.
Wait, are we talking about bears, like, in the forest? Like,
anywhere. A bear could outrun you, guaranteed. Trust me.
I don't know about
that. I think you're supposed to climb a tree or something.
No, they run. They can climb them like crazy.
Oh.
There's nothing you can do about a bear. Sorry.
You know this from all your experiences of fighting bears?
I have a lot of... I'm a hunter.
You are half bear with all your chest.
I was a hunter. I was a hunter, and these are all the stories that you hear, you know. And then you look it up. Yeah, 35 miles an hour for a bear. Humans are average on like 30 at full sprint, which you can only keep up for very little time.
Well, I thought they made the right call getting the zombies out.
I don't care what it is, if it's zombies or if it's animals, as long as it provides enough of a threat to make it feel like you're not just out on a picnic.
Yeah,
which is I'm
still going like. Back to our. I think we had a great idea for that. A big monster would be fucking awesome, right?
Yeah.
Like the mega zombies in that game are scary. You know, they aggro from super far, and they almost teleport with speed. I mean, they're so fast, but it's not. I need one of those that's 3 times as big and, you know, just scary. Something scary.
Yeah.
I'm not scared when I play Rust anymore, except for when, you know, I'm going out alone and I don't. Maybe other people are around, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm scared about other people.
And I guess the question is that how they want to do the game? Is the game supposed to be easy unless there's people there, or should the game be a challenge even without people?
Yeah.
I say make it and let the admins decide if they want it on their server or not.
Yeah, agreed.
So have you guys heard of Reroll? It's a game in...
Sounds
it's
familiar.
An idea. It's only an idea, basically. They have screenshots already, really, but... Okay, so this... First of all, let me go on. You know, I'm the guy that's like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be the awesome, most awesome thing ever, all the time. This one, I'm like, I'm on Bobby's side, where I'm like, there's no way they're going to pull this off.
Well, maybe I like this game. What
Go on. So it's called Reroll, and it's by a company called Pixel. And it's an open world MMO.
Hate it.
It's an open world MMO that's based on our world. So they're going to scan Earth, and that's the gameplay. So it's so crazy. Like, you could see video of them throwing out drones to scan like a hectare, and then it comes back to them, and then that they have that scanned already. And their idea is they're gonna scan the entire Earth.
It's kind of like a second life, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But it seems like a lot more of a game where you could be like a sniper or things like that. Like, you can't do that in Second Life, but yeah, they're doing the entire Earth, and so I think it's way too ambitious. And
start with a town.
They're starting. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're starting with what they call a block. And it's just like one little tiny part of Earth. I don't know where they're going to start it, but they're going to start testing mechanics in there and stuff. But to do the whole Earth, I mean, why would it? I don't know why you have to go and throw these drones out. Like, you already have Google Earth. Just extrapolate from that.
Yeah, but that's just a single top-down perspective.
It's satellite photo.
Yeah, that extrapolate, not only though. Shows 2D. Like, a drone would show a full 3D map, and you can...
No, I get
you
it.
Could build buildings out of that.
But instead of going over there and having somebody throw it, you could just have a person go and guess how tall things are on Google Map.
I guess doing the whole world sounds really ambitious. Like, you could do a reroll Chicago or something, and you'd have more than enough. Yeah, more than enough. Like, yeah. If they do the whole world, you wouldn't even run into people.
That was my... Man, I told Bobby about this. It was just one of these stupid ideas that I have about if you had a post-apocalyptic game and it took a Google Maps shot of your house, and you played from your house, like, you start there, and it randomly generates what houses have loot and what don't, and some have monsters or don't or whatever. How fun would that be? I think that would be so much fun, but that's not what they're doing. They're doing something else. But
it's a great concept, but it doesn't.
Wait, mine or theirs?
Their concept.
Damn it!
yours is a game. It's called The Last Guy. It came out like 10 years ago. Not as advanced as yours, but.
But I mean, something like that sounds great, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a great game. You know, it's a cool concept, but it's like movies, you know, it's like movies and video games. What makes a good video game doesn't make a good movie, and vice versa. So, you know, you hear ideas like that sound cool, but when they actually happen, it doesn't, you know, just because it's actually Earth, that doesn't make it fun. What makes it fun is other stuff, like the mechanics of the game, mm-hmm. the gameplay, the style, things like that. Although, I think there is going to come a time, not to get too futuristic, but there's going to be a time where... you know, we're going to be able to virtualize the world and play in it.
Easily.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
for sure. I was thinking about, like, computers are going to be so powerful in the years to come where you could just make a game at will. Like, I feel like being a knight today. Make me a knight and make their castle that I have
pretty
to
pretty much the holodeck.
Yeah, pretty much. And you could just tell the computer, and it's going to make what you want as you go. I think that's viable between...
We know what we're going to use that for.
Yeah.
Checkers. Yeah. Right, fellas?
Yeah, something like
all
that.
All day.
I don't know. I think saying something like that takes the artistry out of a game, because I really view games as art. And it's like, you can have a computer that makes a work of art, but it's not a work of... There's no passion, there's no expression there. I don't think you can teach a computer how to be expressive like that.
Hopefully your computer, your own computer, is learning you and what you like, so it would go off of that.
What I think is computers will get closer and closer for man to be able to express himself as truly as possible. Because right now we're limited by pixels, we're limited by hardware, we're limited by all these all these limitations. Like, you talk to any game designer, and they talk about all the things that they've had to leave on the cutting room floor because they couldn't.
Limitations.
We're going to get to a point where we don't have those limitations, and it'll truly be as the artist envisions. And that's the day I'm excited about.
Yeah, sure. the medium has gotten better and better, and we're able to do more and more. Like, when you play games, it's kind of hard to do, like, really good storytelling, like, in video games maybe 20 years ago when you just didn't have the graphics, you didn't have the sound, you just didn't have a lot of things that could come together.
The emotions on faces.
Yeah, the expression. I mean, I remember playing all these games, and I remember seeing a game where a character's mouth would move while they were talking, but it wasn't exactly making the right shapes for the words that they were speaking. And they've gotten
Takes
a lot.
You out.
Yeah,
Takes
exactly.
You out of the game.
It's the Uncanny Valley. But they've gotten better at stuff like that. When they start improving stuff like that, then yeah, it's gonna get better.
Yeah.
So sure. Looking ahead, like this week, I'm probably gonna be playing a lot more Loadout. But what are you guys gonna be playing?
What do you mean? Like the way you say it is like I'm excluded from playing your Loadout.
Well, I don't know.
Not well. I wouldn't
play Loadout.
I'd exclude me too, and Chad, because we are terrible.
Yeah,
we're so bad at that game.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
You really got to play around with the guns and just find something that works. And you know what really, this sounds so obvious, but you know what really helped me is like I just started aiming for the head more. And I'm dropping them faster. Yeah. Huh.
I never aim for the head with the sniper rifle.
You know what I like about this game, though? I mean, I like a lot of stuff about it, but I like how you can name your gun.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
You can leave it on the ground.
I got to give it to Nick.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, that was his.
That was blah, blah, blah. That's so good.
Yeah. It's so fun to pick somebody else's up because you have no clue. Like, they've named it the cock shooter or something that.
Yeah.
You have no idea what it is, so you pick it up and just hope that it's something better than yours.
I think I picked up a gun. It was called Fuck Everybody today or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, when you win, it shows your name and the gun that you use to do the most damage, too.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like that.
God, that game is good. I can't endorse that game enough because it's free.
Can you believe that game got 68 on Metacritic?
Oh, gee.
What?
Wow. Yeah, 68.
Wow.
Why are they reviewing it? Like, so is it early? I mean, are they still doing modifications?
No, they have reviews right away, but I'm sure the score will fluctuate, but I don't know if it's going to vary too much.
Wow. Well, maybe it's because of the bugginess.
Didn't have any problems with the bugs, but...
Not everybody has a monster rig.
Seriously.
Hey, dude, I got computer problems like everybody else.
It's over there growling at home. Just like,
us normal people, we're having problems here and there. But the gameplay is amazing. Yeah.
It is a lot of fun, man. And I'm going to have a hard time playing other games. Like, I really want to spend my time on that one. But I'm probably going to continue. Dude, I have been at Assassin's Creed 4 for so long, man. I am 17 hours deep in that game. And I'm on sequence 7 or 8 out of 13.
Let me go through my understanding of you playing that game. At the very beginning, you're like, you know, it's my first Assassin's Creed game. You know, there's a lot to learn. Then, next update. Man, I am having a lot of fun with this game. It's so much fun. Third installment. This game is really long. Fourth installment. Wow, this game is long.
That's pretty much how it went, man. It's like my fourth week reporting on it. But yeah, and it's not just like a long game. There's so much to this game. There's little mini games in it, like when you harpoon whales, when you're sailing around. There's ship battles, which are like a different game.
Yeah, if you're drunk at night,
harpoon
a whale. It's like, why they do that? The problem is getting out of your apartment when you're done.
Oh, metaphors. Dude, a kid showed me this. There's an app on your phone that you can get for Assassin's Creed that lets you play one of the mini games. You can send your ships, your fleet, out on missions to do trades and get...
On your phone?
Yeah. You can do it on your phone. You can do it in the game, too. But there's an app where you can do it just whenever, like on your phone.
Why are you talking to kids, man? It's kind of weird about
kids. I work with kids. Yeah. Without revealing too much of my personal life, I work with kids, which is great because I have an insight, man. I was chatting with
I didn't know you were a clown.
A big, bright red nose and the hair didn't give it away.
He said that he saw kids wearing cognitive shirts.
Oh, Team Dignitas.
Dignitas shirts, dude.
Well, Dignitas,
I see.
Yeah. Yeah,
or is it more than they do more than just fight?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably
they
then.
Do. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
A lot of low players.
Oh,
a lot of
low
players or kids.
Cool. Took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how about you, Amelia? What are you playing?
So this coming, I can't stop playing fucking Hearthstone. I'm sorry, half of my gaming time goes into Hearthstone. I would say
Arena mode is awesome.
So much fun.
Yeah,
yeah. You've been kicking ass lately.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. For some reason, I don't know what.
You said druid. You said druid's the way to go.
I buckled down and decided when I'm doing arena not to pick the card that I like the best and really look at curve, look at how many character, how many minions I'm selecting, and it's paid off big time. I do a curve. I try not to get more than 2, 5, 6, or 7.
Yeah, I'm totally random. Like, best.
I try to keep my curve right. I try to get at over 20
and it's paying off.
Minions, and it is paying off big time.
Do you think it's the druid, or it's the combination of druid and...
Well, I'm playing a mage right now. I'm 4-0 right now with my
mage.
Wow. Yeah, so...
4-0, that's pretty good.
I mean, mages are juice anyways.
Yeah,
but,
for sure. I think they're ranked second on what I saw. Paladins are ranked first.
That's crazy, because I hate paladins.
I think their standard cards are so good for draft. You know, they always have a creature, and they can always buff creatures.
Yeah.
So, they have that going on.
Yeah.
Besides that, I'm going to play Loadout this week, I think, for sure. I'm having so much fun with that. I completely abandoned my sniping, and I moved to beam weapon, and almost immediately I was getting better.
That's what I did, and then it tailed off hard. So
rocket launcher. I'm going beam rocket launcher.
I cannot get a rocket launcher that is successful. Although Nick, I picked up Nick's gun after I killed him. Yeah, that's right, Nick. Suck it. But I picked up his gun, and it was like the penta.
Hexa barrel.
Yeah, the hexa barrel, and I was having fun.
So wait, it has six rockets at once?
No, it has six. Normally, you know, the rocket has one, and you reload. This has six, so you almost...
What's the downside?
Less damage. They're smaller ones.
That still sounds pretty sexy.
Yeah, but you basically use it like a rifle, like a light assault gun. Like it's...
And blah, they blah, come, blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Exactly. So, I think down the tree on missile could be good.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going into that, I think.
A lot of the players that beat me are using some form of the rocket launcher. That seems to be the way to go, especially on Blitz. Got to have a rocket launcher and some grenades.
It really does suck because I feel like I put so much into the sniper rifle, and now I'm like, I threw it all away.
Well, you can unlock other stuff and maybe make it work. Look up some stuff. There's some ways you can make that stuff work. But is there anything coming out this week? I feel like there was something being released this week.
So, sidebar, or side question, Smite had a new god that came out this week.
Oh, Nemesis.
Nemesis. Yeah. Does that entice you to play? Because you haven't played...
Okay, so every time a god comes out, I always go and play that god. And usually I play it in practice. But now, this week, changed it where you can't play the new gods in practice. Which I think is really dumb. I mean, you should be able to... Maybe not dumb. Maybe because this is what I do, you know? And guess what? I spend gems on Nemesis.
Yeah, you probably weren't alone. You were probably the majority.
And the only reason I spent gems is because I had the magic number where I couldn't afford a skin, and I couldn't afford... And I you know... And what am I going to do with 200 gems, you know? You can buy a god. So I was like, fuck it. You know, I might have been drunk. So...
this is during your $200 buy-in binge?
Yeah. Maybe. So Nemesis is... If you guys care, Smite is the greatest MOBA of all time.
Even though you haven't played in 2 weeks.
Even though I haven't played. I haven't played in more than 2 weeks.
Well, I don't know about you, but I played so much of that game. That, other than WoW, that is my most played game of all time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, how long... Like, I'm either going to be a Smite player or I'm going to be a PC gamer, man.
Exactly.
What's funny is I haven't played Smite in probably 3 weeks. I still watch videos of Dragon.
No, me too.
Like, it... I still have fun watching.
Top five plays. You saw me that play watching those last time?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun game to watch once you get in. And I did the same with Heroes of New Earth. I used to watch tournaments and not play because I suck. But it's nice to see good play.
Once you understand the game, you can understand the content that comes out of that game. And Smite's probably the easiest to understand.
Yeah.
If there's one overwhelming concept with this whole podcast is that I'm dumb and I like easy games. I think that's...
I don't think any MOBA is easy. I think the concept of a MOBA is a more difficult concept.
I don't know. Easy is relative. It's completely relative. Dude, you talk about easy to a PC gamer, that is completely different than easy to somebody else.
Yeah, for sure.
I know people that just pick up a controller or a mouse and keyboard at a game, they just have no idea, dude. It's like they're playing Fumble Core. They're just like,
That's what I'm talking about, like...
That's what was Dota for you a little bit. I'm telling you, back up. The creeps are hitting you. And you're like, I'm trying to. I know what I want to do.
Stop yelling at me, dude. I'm not doing what I want to be doing.
Dota 2 was a Fumble Core game for you. Yeah, now that makes sense.
For sure.
Gotta learn the controls, man.
Did we talk about Poolsiden last week?
Poolsiden.
Oh, no.
So
it's awesome.
Yeah, coolest skin that they come out with, right? The rubber ducky that comes up out of the water.
Yeah, I think it quacks too.
And it quack. He's hitting them with the
pool noodle.
Water weenie or whatever that thing is.
The water.
I think they're called pool noodles. Dude.
Pool noodles.
Oh,
yeah.
Pool noodles. Okay.
Yeah.
Water noodles. I think.
I've never bought a skin before, but I'm.
If, you want to play the game just to buy a skin?
Yeah, if I was playing the game right now...
And you don't play Poseidon.
I'd have to learn her.
Everything is stacked against you, dude.
But that is the coolest
skin. And I don't know if you knew about what they were trying to do with that skin. Is all the money gained from that
went towards the tournament.
Yeah. On top of the $100,000 that they were giving.
Yeah. Well, they need to do something because they're competing against million-dollar tournaments and multi-million-dollar tournaments that League of Legend and Dota 2 are doing.
Let me run down Nemesis because it's fresh. So she has a double dash, which is her one.
Warrior. She's a warrior.
She's a warrior, yeah. She's a physical bruiser. She has a dash, and then you can move around. Check wherever you want to go and go a second time, and it does damage. So you can pass through somebody, turn around, and do it again. Two is an arc. The center of the arc slows your enemy. Three is a fourth of a second shield, and it reflects a little bit of damage, and it heals how much damage you were supposed to take during that time. So for really big things like Poolsiden, like if he hits you, but if you time it right, you're going to heal instead of getting hit, you know, which is probably an easy one. Or Raw, those things that you know. Or if you're a couple times I was caught in a AoE, something slowing me down, and I put that on, and then I ran normal speed. So, you know, like Anubis's Grasping Hands, you can run normal speed because you have the shield on, so it's kind of nice.
Hmm.
And then the ultimate, it's kind of... Definitely not the strongest ultimate. You it's kind of like Loki's ultimate, where you there's a reticle where you, but it's bigger, maybe much easier than Loki's, but you take a percentage of their protections and give them to yourself, and I think it might have a slow, but I'm not sure. So I imagine, I really think she's a jungler. Most likely, she's going to be played as a jungler and come in with her ultimate and take away the protections and get the kill with her ult. So, and she has her face blocked because she's Justice, and Justice is blind. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it kind of makes me want to play because she seems different enough that, and I like those kind of characters.
So we can't really talk on if she seems overpowered or underpowered at this point. I mean, no one's really played.
No.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, for what it's worth, I always play them in practice. And I beat my practice score of kills. I got 54 kills with her and my best.
How long were you playing?
That's one game.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, I'm fucking badass against bots, dude. All day.
Yeah, they don't even move. They just kind of jerk back and forth.
But, like, on a standard game where I'm just going all out, like with Geb or with on her or something, I'll get around 30, you know? And she does mad damage. So they'll probably scale back her damage. But this is high res, right? This is MOBAs, probably. Mm. Every new god that comes out, or hero.
Yeah, they're either way cool or way overpowered, and then they get scaled back.
Yeah.
Because they want people to buy them.
Hmm. All right, well, anyone else got anything else to add before we wrap this up?
Titties!
Yeah, no, I got nothing.
Okay. All right, well, I guess that's it. This has been Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. You can reach us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Our website is dlgaming.net. Check us out on Steam, DL Gaming, if you want to play some games. And thank you for listening.
Subscribe to us.
Oh, yeah, do that too.